So over the last few weeks, actually it's turned into kind of, I said we're just going to have a bunch of one-offs, but actually they kind of all really kind of go together. We've been talking about basically some foundational principles of our faith and what we do as believers. And I have this quotes like a successful walk in our Christian life, right? So so we've talked about prayer. We talked about the power of prayer. Julie did an amazing message a few weeks back about the way we approach God. We don't approach God like meek, right? We don't, not sheepishly, right? Well, we approach God, and I love her terminology, like we belong there. Like we belong, we approach God, we boldly approach the throne of grace. Why? Because we belong there. You know, like she talked about, she goes, I don't sheepishly go into my home going, is it okay for me to come? No, you belong there, right? So she did a great job. Powerful. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. We also talked about worship and what that's all about. We talked about baptism and the new birth realities. And we talked about faith, with trusting God in our circumstances. We are faith people. Amen. And then last week, we talked about living a generosity life, a generous life in our talents and our words and our time and our money. So I thought we would, and then after the lake day, we are going to go into a series, and I'm going to, unless Lord changes it, I am going to go into the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to go verse by verse in the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to go through the book of 2 Timothy and just go and read and glean some things. So tempting just to start right now, but I'm not. This is actually a good preview for this, for that series. So I'm excited about, because we need to be in the scriptures. Amen. Amen. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. So, so we've been talking about these fundamental truths. And so this issue of reading our Bible is like so monumentally important. It's not a side issue. Like, it's not a side deal. So I grew up, in a Methodist church right down the road, St. Paul Methodist Church right down the road on Bells Ferry. And I heard all the stories, right? I heard all the Bible stories. I heard the pastor get up and he'd say some things from the Old Testament and then the New Testament and then Psalms. How many of y'all went to a church like that back in the day? And then like I went to a Christian high school in my last 2 years of high school, and you know, they taught some things about the Bible, but it was good stuff, but I didn't really understand the Bible. Right? I knew it was really important that you read it, really important that you there's good stuff, but not really anything to really ground me. Amen. So just real life. So then I turned 21 years old and I fully surrendered my life to the Lord. Like I was living a wreck of a life and finally surrendered my heart to the Lord and said, God, I've told you, some of you before, if you're new, I said my rededication or salvation or whatever you want to call it, prayer was, God, I've made a wreck out of my life. If you can use this life, I give it all to you. And I'll choose to surrender my ways, my thinking to you. And I go, because I'm doing a terrible job of it in my own life. How many of y'all are similar? Like, man, I was doing a terrible job at living my life. God, I need you in my life. I need you. And so I began to read my Bible on a consistent basis. And did I understand everything I read? No. Mm-mm. But did it change my life? Yeah, totally. My life changed when I started doing simple things over a period of time, like going to church on a regular basis. That's a big deal. I made it a priority to be around like-minded people of faith. Like, church became a priority for me. It wasn't secondary. And actually, honestly, true confessions of a pastor, one of the ways that I was consistent is I joined the worship team. And I had to be there every single Sunday. And if I wasn't there every single Sunday, you notice the bass player is not there. I mean, the most important instrument in the whole band was not there. I mean, the other buddy else is fine. The singers are whatever. I mean, yeah. But the bass player. But volunteering helped me be committed. Those mornings I didn't want to get up and come, guess what? I got a job to do. So I just come. And then I began giving a tithe. And then I began daily prayer, even when I wasn't very good at it. I just did it the best I knew how. But then there's this part of daily reading God's word, getting into God's word. See, here's the hard truth. Y'all want a hard truth this morning? Many people want to change, but they're unwilling to do the simple things and the surrendered things to do what it takes to allow God to start changing you from the inside. You don't get this by osmosis just because you're around it. There's things that we do, amen? You realize that as disciples of Jesus, the word disciple, there's the word discipline engaged in that word, right? Whew. Amen. Amen. Amen, Pastor. So I did some studies and I found this interesting, Lifeway did a interesting a survey. And they did a survey about people who engage with scriptures one time a week. And it's interesting, they weren't even looking, they were looking for a different, they weren't looking for an outcome. They were looking for a different thinkings or whatever. But then this popped up in their studies. 40,000 people, ages 8 to 80, they wanted to see how people were engaging with scriptures. And they compiled all the results and they made a profound, I'm reading it now, profound discovery that they weren't even looking for. This is what they found. The people who engage with scriptures one time a week, including listening to their pastor say something about scripture, watch this, had negligible effect. No effect. Those people who engaged with scripture two times a week, same, negligible to nothing effect. Interesting. The next, three times a week. What about three times a week? Three times a week, there was maybe a faint heartbeat of things changing, but almost nothing. But then here's where it got different. When people engage with scriptures four times a week, there was not a gradual jump, but there was a spike in life change. Four times a week. And here's what they found. Feeling of loneliness dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%, four times a week. Bitterness in relationship dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. Sex outside of marriage dropped 68%. Feeling spiritual stagnant dropped 60%. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. Sharing your faith jumped up to 200%. Discipling and discipling, not discipling others, discipling others, 230%. Radical change happened at that, whatever that four times a week of engaging in scriptures four times a week. That's pretty incredible. It's totally drastic. So you can look at it like and go, well, yeah, I read my Bible once a week and one time a week and like nothing's changed. Like that's a thing. And then my wife made an interesting thing, and it's true. Like part of it is just if you're up to four times a week, you're a little bit a disciplined person, right? That's true. But also, you're diving into God's word, which is transformational. Mm-hmm. Like God's word is not just it's not Tom Sawyer, right? It's It's living. It's active. It does things on the inside of you. So the effects of reading God's word are dramatic. Are dramatic. And we are supposed to be people. And then what they found in this other study, that during COVID, we'll see how this lands. During COVID, you just say things. Praise God. During COVID, 26 million people in their studies quit reading their Bibles. During COVID, you should be diving into your scriptures more. Right? But 26 million people, this morning it's either amen or oh me. Well, since I'm standing here, let me stand on a little bit further. I talked to a friend of mine, and he made a bold confession. He said that during COVID and through all of the turmoil of all the political stuff that was going on right then, y'all remember that? That was a wonderful life experience, wasn't it? Yeah, terrible. He made this confession to me. He says, my morning devotion was always to get up and go read my Bible and pray and spend time with God. He said, that changed during COVID in the political upheaval. He said, I began to just go down, get my coffee, and turn on my favorite news station. And I'd be willing to bet that happened to more than just him. And so, you see, the Bible is not just a book. It's the source of our belief system. It's what we hold on to as believers. Like, if you don't choose to believe the Bible, that's fine. But you're not a Christian. The Bible is the book that we hold on to. It's our belief system. The truths of God are found in the scriptures. It's truth. What is truth? It's reality. Truth is the reality, the way God sees it. And we as followers of Jesus find the truth. We find our truth in the scriptures. We don't find our truth within us. We find our truth with what God says about us. So here's the problem with that mindset, with the mindset of not being people of the word. And the thing is that if we don't choose to feed and read God's word, then we're feeding and reading other things. And Paul warns us in 2 Timothy. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is happening. I was listening to one of my mentors, John Eldridge. I don't really know him. He doesn't even know he's mentoring me, but he does. And he says that we're living in the time of in our nation of the apostate. People turning away from the faith. Turning away. And that's the age kind of that we're living in. We're living in the turning away age in our nation. However, you go south of the border, Christianity is exploding. You know there's more Christians in Africa, in the continent of Africa, than all of the people in the United States.
Right.
You know South America? You know South American people south of the equator? The followers are exploding. It's exploding all over south of the, watch out.
Right.
2 Timothy 4. And this scripture is for us. For a time will come, I believe it is, when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. But watch this. But according to their own desires, what they want, what they think, and how they want to think, they will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. That is rampant in our nation. Rampant in our nation. And they will turn away from hearing the truth and turn aside to myths. Guys, listen, you have to know your Bible. The scripture talks about this group that Paul preached, Peter or Paul, I can't remember off the top of my head, Peter or Paul preached to, and they were Bereans. And this is what the scripture said about the Bereans. They said the Bereans were more noble than all the other disciples. That's big words. You know why? Because they sought the scriptures daily to see if, oh, it's Paul, to see if what Paul said was true. Question. Think about the church. Not our church, not because you all do it. I'm talking about the other churches. Do we do that? Do you check out what I say? You should. You should. Do you go to the scriptures and go, hey, is David teaching the truth? That favorite preacher that you preach, and man, they make you feel good. Are they preaching the truth? Are they preaching what you want to hear? Are they preaching something that can coddle your, you know, your greed or your desires of your flesh or whatever? Paul says, be careful, because there's a time coming, and I believe that is. And if the church is stopped reading their Bibles, you're open for deception. Wide open for deception. Wide open for deception. I believe that there's like a scale. I feel like the Lord showed it to me like this. You know, Christianity is not supposed to be just learned. Christianity is we're supposed to experience the love of God. We're supposed to encounter God Himself. Right? There is an experiential part of our faith in God. But there's also the truth of God that we know. Amen? That we know the truth of God. Like, this is so important. I want to drill this in. Because, let me just say this. Just because something's supernatural doesn't mean it's God. Just because it's supernatural doesn't mean it's God. The Bible, Jesus warns us, there'll be people with false signs and wonders. Remember the Egyptians? Aaron goes down, throws his rod down. What does the Egyptians do? Oh, no. They took their rod and threw it down. And they both became snakes. Go to Malawi. Don't go. This is not an invitation. But the people who go to the witch doctors, there are signs and wonders that happen through those witch doctors. And it leads them into deception. We dealt with those deceptions when we were there. Jane and Pastor Ezekiel deal with it every day. So just because it's supernatural doesn't necessarily mean it's God. What grounds you? The Word of God. The Word of God grounds you. Not my iPad. The Word of God grounds you. I was going to bring my Bible and I left it at home this morning. Sorry. But the Word of God grounds. So the loss of the love of Scripture has entered into this, and I believe this to be true. And many people, not you, other people, because I wouldn't dare want to hurt anybody's feelings. the loss of our love for Scripture, we've traded it for the news, for our social media feeds. We've chosen man's wisdom. Man's wisdom above the truth of the scriptures, books that we read. How about this? Even devotionals that we read. Going to church, just listening, and whatever they say, I'm just going to listen to it. Like, we need to understand that we are living in a time where it is not okay not to be in the Word of God. It is not okay to push God's word aside, because there's so many deceptive things out there. And as times change, like things change, and let me just add this. Not every new bit of information is bad. Not every bit of things that, am I telling you, oh, you shouldn't read the news? No, I'm not saying that. But what are you filtering the news with? Are you filtering the Bible through the news? Or are you filtering the news through the Bible? Even in some of the stuff that we deal with, like you go and you Google your symptoms, right? Careful. Like, I get it, man. If you need a diagnosis, get a diagnosis. What does the scripture say about it? Amen. That's fine. What does the scripture say about it? What does the Bible say about it? Filter it. All right. So what do? We filter everything that we take in by the Word of God, capturing every thought, right? So how do you do it? Because it's so confusing. The Bible is way, at times, way too uncomfortable. It's too big. There's way too many chapters. There's too much cultural context. There's so much cultural context for reading our Bible. These are all true, but they're not excuses. So let me just break down some basics. So if this is not new to you, just hold on. So basically this, let me just help you just a little bit. The Bible is broken down into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Assume nothing. Amen? Old Testament and New Testament. And if this is new to you, it's okay. It's okay. Nobody teaches this, by the way. The Bible is, because what we did, this is what we do. We've changed reading the Bible to going, I like that scripture, that scripture, that scripture, that scripture. I really like that scripture. Love one another. We're going to leave that alone. Yeah. As my good buddy John used to say, we're going to use a black highlighter over that one. But we take scriptures out, we put them up, and it's wonderful, and it's good, right? As we do kind of cherry pick sometimes, let's be honest. But the Bible's in the Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament deals with creation through the beginnings of God's people and the children of Israel. And as we go on, there's a lot, right? So you get into all the story, like your Samson, your David and Goliath, and all those things that we love to read about, like all those Old Testament guys. And then we go into the stories of the kings and all the people of Israel. Then we find out that they get taken into captivity. And then there's all these prophets that are up, and they're talking, they're speaking as you have the major prophets and the minor prophets. You know what the difference between the major? Literally, it's like this. The major prophets are longer to read than the minor prophets. That's literally the way we divide major and minor prophets, literally. That's really how it is. Now, then the New Testament comes along. And by the way, in those prophecies, there are all these prophets prophesying about many prophets about many things. But some of them are prophesying about this new king that's going to arise. And then we see the fulfillment of that in Jesus when he arrives in the New Testament. So the New Testament is basically about 100 years of history, give or take, about 100 years of history, where Jesus comes on the scene, the first four Gospels. You have the three Gospels that are very similar. You have the Gospel of John, who stands alone. And I love John. He's amazing. And then you have the book of Acts, which is the early church. Actually, the book of Luke and the book of Acts were originally one book. The book Luke wrote both of those books, Luke and Acts. And then you have letters to the churches. And one of the letters we're going to read in 2 weeks. And then you have Revelation. The revelation of Jesus. And that's wild. And a lot. Yeah, yeah. I would just encourage you, don't start there. Don't start there. If you're just getting started reading your Bible, stick with the Gospels. Amen. That's right. Now, what there's also is there's some great helps that are out there. In reading your Bible, there's great helps. I've just been turned onto this guy. It's called the 10-Minute Bible Hour, and he is amazing. Are you shaking your head? You know, the 10-Minute Bible Hour. This guy, he did a section, and I would highly recommend you do this. He did a section of his podcast, so you have to scroll back through where he did every book of the Bible in 10 to 15 minutes. He kind of cheats sometimes. He goes into 15. But 10 to 15 minutes gives you a wonderful overview of those books. It's amazing, the 10-minute Bible hour. It's kind of funny. And he's really funny, but he is a brilliant, not only is he a brilliant theologian, but he's also a brilliant historian. So he explains how it fits into both biblical history and secular history, which actually are the same. So anyways, but there's helps. Bible Project guys, I'm with those guys about 90% of the time. I'm with them. They do a great job of video presentation. And there's a lot of helps that are out there to help you read your Bible. But here's the thing. So Jessica and I, we were actually at the End Times conference, and we're back in the booth, and we're talking about, like, how do we get people to read their Bibles? Like, how is it? We understand it's the issue. Like, it's a deal. I'm not going to ask you to say amen, but I know it's a deal. And so we're asking people, and I go, well, you know, we have all these great helps, and we got all this, you know, maybe we should introduce all these helps to people and give them more. And she goes, you know, that's really great. You know, Jessica, if you know Jessica. She goes, yeah, but she goes, David, how did you do it? I go, well, I just started reading it. I just started reading. She goes, did you understand everything? No, I didn't. Of course I didn't understand everything. Huh. Maybe we should not be so afraid and just start reading the thing. And if you don't understand, just keep reading. Just keep reading. Keep reading. And so I just started. I just started reading my Bible. Just start. And so you know what we're going to do for the next 20 minutes? Till we're done, we're just going to read some scripture. And I've picked out a scripture and I just want to read it. It's in Proverbs chapter 3. It has nothing to do with any of my message. But I just want to, let's get into reading our Bible. I want you to see how you can read your Bible. Amen? Activities. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says this, my son, do not forsake my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor with a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those who love as a father delights in his son. Amen. End. Unfortunately, that's how most people read their Bibles. That is not the way you read your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. That is not the way you read your Bible. I mean, I could go back and you could say, man, I think he said something about this. I think he said something about this. You know how you should read your Bible? Slow. Slow. So let's go back. How do you read your Bible? How do you read your Bible? Let's start off by doing this. Father, we ask God. God, as I read your word, God, Holy Spirit, I invite you. You told me that you would show me truth and you would remind me of the things that Jesus says. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to me through your word. And God, I give you permission to correct me, to encourage me. Whatever you want to do as I approach your word, I do it reverently. And God, I ask you to speak to me through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. My son. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life. Many years bring you peace and prosperity. So I have to keep his commands. Yeah, go back. Verse 1. So I have to keep his commandments. I wonder what that means, to keep. Let me think about that for a minute. What is keep? What does it mean, keep? Does that mean I just hold on to them? Or maybe it's something, no, it seems like it's something deeper, right? Amen? Like what? Like somebody, what does it mean to keep? What does that mean to keep? Hold on to, yeah. What's that? Remember, yeah, good. What else? Meditate on it. Well, there's a lost art. On our website, I have an article. It's called The Lost Art of Meditation. You should go read it. Not you. I mean, you should go read it. You totally should go read it. Keep it. Remember. Okay. So I keep his commandments. Okay, what are those? What are his commandments? Like, are you following me? Slow down. What are his commandments? Well, it's one of his commandments. I'm supposed to love people. I'm supposed to love others. Above everything, I'm supposed to love. Like, love, let love be my aim. That's a command. But part of my command, I got to shun evil. I got to turn away from evil. Like, those are commands, right? And then, like, drop down in verse 3. Here's where some, maybe, of your Bible knowledge kind of comes from. You know, it does help. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. You know, that word, those words love and faithfulness actually go back to how God is. God is love and he's faithful. His love and his faithfulness endures forever, right? Mm-hmm. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet on your heart. You're supposed to really do that? Like, actually, this goes back to what they used to do, right? About writing those things and putting them on their heads and around their necks, right? But what does that mean for us? What could that mean? What's that? Keep them in your heart. Remember them. Do them. What are we asked to do? Love and faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. So you could do it a couple of ways. You could say, I'm going to remember that God has his love for me and his faithfulness to me. Like, we can read this so fast and miss it. Then, interesting, it's Proverbs, so it always has the good wisdom. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So if I do these things, not only will I gain favor with God, but I will gain favor with other people. And wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have influence in my world. Maybe if I meditate on these things and I think about God's love for me and his faithfulness towards me, then I'll have favor with God and I'll have favor with other people. That'll give me a voice to speak God's truth into other people's lives. Are you following me? Slow down. And then it goes into this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. How many of y'all been guilty of that? Like, you should stop right there. Like, every one of us should probably not read any further and go, I've been doing this by myself. I've been doing this life on my own thinking. Amen? We're all guilty. Like, stop and go, oh, no, there's a better way. Are you following me? Then it goes down in verse 11. It says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke. Whew. How many of y'all have resented God's rebuke before? So have I. But you see, if you slow down and you read the scripture with purpose, it's not, listen, your scripture reading is not a checklist. It's not, I did it. Pastor David said four times, four. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, that's five. Who knows what's going to happen? Your mind will explode. You'll just turn into glory all of a sudden, right? But guys, listen, we live in this pretty tumultuous times. We live in a time where there's lies all around. We have to hold on to God's word. Hold on to his truth. It'll make you a better, guys, listen, it'll make you a better husband. It'll make you a better father. Wives, it'll cause you, like, It'll cause you to overcome. It'll cause you the God's glory and his presence to come on you. It'll give you peace that you're not alone. Women, you're not alone with all of the responsibilities that you have, all the things that you deal with. You're not alone. God is with you. And when you daily get into God's word, it reminds you day after day after day after day. And all of a sudden, you'll start thinking different, processing things different. You're like, well, David, you just went, you've done this for so, yeah, I've done it for a long time. And you know what? When difficulties come up, you know what's right there? Listen, there's scripture always right there. When you got to understand, every time I'm dealing with anything, I have, thank God, over the last 54, carry the two, 30 some odd years, I've read the scriptures. You know what I now have? A Rolodex of God's promises, a Rolodex of God's goodness. When somebody pulled out, like I hear these I watch videos of preachers too, right? And I hear nonsense and I go, nope. And what will I do? I'll rattle off like six or seven scriptures in my head. And I go, that's not true. That's out of context. That's not the way Paul intended that to be said. But you don't get that if you never begin. You don't get it unless you study. You get in God's word. Begin. The hardest part is beginning. Amen? We've got to be people of God's word. Got to be people of his truth. If we don't, we're open for deception. Like many people are. I listen to people's testimonies who leave the faith. And I go, you are deceived. A lot of those people were under some bad teaching, quite honestly. And they believed wrong things and they turned away from the faith. I talked to somebody just the other day. I'm done. I don't have anything to do with God. Literally. If he rolled out the red carpet for me, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. What is that? Deception. I love him. Great guy. And deceived. Don't be deceived. Because there's things out there. And when he says that people will come teaching things that tickle your ears, he's not just talking about church people. He's talking about it everywhere. We have to be people that are in his word. Amen? Amen? I'm going to say this totally self-affirming is that I'm so glad we go to a church that honors God's word. Somewhere down the line, probably through going to Rhema, the school I went to, God's word is such a high place of priority in my life. It's his truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't know the scriptures, you don't know the truth, and you probably may not be set free. Let's all stand together. B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. God's word, guys. Listen, let's dive into it. So let me just, one or two more helps. Proverbs is a great, I'm just going to give you a couple of ideas. Amen? Can I give you a couple of ideas? A couple of ideas. Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. In a lot of months, there's 31 days in the month. How about that? You can read one chapter of Proverbs every day for 31 days and get through the book. Read it slow. Here's another help. If you read something and it jumps out at you, stop. Lord, what do I do with that scripture? What do I do with that? Another thing you can do, Start in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read about Jesus. Read about him. Just start. And if you don't understand something, just read. Just continue to read. I don't get it. I'm just going to read on. Amen? Because soon after, as you read through the stories of Jesus, and maybe you're like, oh, and I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. I'm just going to do it. In the beginning of a lot of those Gospels, there's going to be a, what do you call it? The this begat somebody and this begat somebody. I forgot what it's called. Genealogy. Permission granted to skip it. I will say this, it's very important. It's good because it proves the messianic proof of Jesus. That's what they're doing when they're doing that. It's important. But I give you the permission. Just go ahead and skip it. And guys, I'll tell you another part of the Bible you can skip. Guys, when it says wives, just stop reading. That's not you. That's not your responsibility to find out what your wife's supposed to do. And wives, when it says husbands, stop. Skip over to your part. You know, you're supposed to love me as Christ loved the church. No. Amen? Read your Bible. Sorry, we're having a moment. God's moving right here amongst us. Right here, God speaking to hearts. Amen. And whatever we can do to help you, we want to help you. Amen. Amen. Oh, and let me plug this. Jessica will be happy. Wednesday mornings, what time? I forgot what time. 10, if you're available, women. She's actually going through the whole story of the Bible. And Jessica's brilliant. Oh, yeah. And I have a YouTube series. Jessica and I did a YouTube series that we filmed. Mark and Robert helped us film. It's called Yes, You Can Understand Your Bible. And Jessica and I go through the whole Bible and explain Yes, You Can Understand Your Bible. We have a YouTube thing. So thank you for that. Appreciate that. Amen. We're going to read our Bibles. Amen. There's tons of resources, but don't let the resources, like, you can get bogged down in your resources. Just read it. Whatever it says, just read it. Don't go, you ain't gonna have to go check the Greek and check the, just read it. Amen? Amen. All right, I've gone on and on. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Close your eyes. This is one of those Pastor David practical, non-preachy messages, but it's so important. Okay, yes, Lord. I feel like the Lord just would ask me to do that. Like, so if you have been neglecting God's word, what I feel like the Lord wants you to do, right, just right where you're at, own it. That's what I've been doing. Own it. I've allowed other things to be more important. I've exchanged it for reading other things. And neglected God's word. And this is what we do. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I haven't honored your word. And then, God's so gracious. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. So good. I'll pick you back up. Turn you around. And set you on a different course. So this is your prayer. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me to get into your word. Help me to seek you before and have your voice near me as I read. God, I thank you, God, for your word. It's life to those who find it, health to all their flesh. I thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God. Yep, sorry. I'm not sorry. Just ask the Holy Spirit right where you're at. Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit when. When's a good time? Doesn't have to be in the morning. Doesn't. I could argue better or worse, but I say worse is not at all. So ask the Lord when. When? When you wake up, are you supposed to get up earlier? Are you supposed to put down your phone while you're in bed and get out the Bible and read it at night? Is it on your lunch break? Ask the Lord when. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit knows. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for your help. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit who helps us as we read your word. God, we thank you, God, for your word. We honor your word. God, help us to put your word first place in our lives. God, we thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said amen. Say, I am what God says I am. I know what God says I am because I read his word. Amen. I can do what God says I can do. I know what I can do. Because I read his word and he tells me what I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be people of God's word. Amen. God bless you guys. We will see y'all next week at the lake.